now that you're here. Amen. If we'd open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 2. And reading for our text this evening, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Your gracious Father, we humbly and reverently approach thy word tonight, knowing that you are the author and finisher not only of your word, but Father of our faith. And believing, Father, that you who author our faith, it is by your faith, Father, that we live. For Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I am living. Yet it's not truly I that am living, but Christ is living in me. And the life that I now live, I live by his faith, the faith of the Son of God, who gave his life for me. And so, Father, we accept, Lord, that our faith is nothing, because we know that faith is revelation, and therefore if we have faith of our own, then it's something that we reveal to ourselves. But, Father, we know simply that that would be heresy. But we believe that the faith by which we live is the faith that your Son Jesus had in you, that you would raise him from the dead, and knowing that you raised him from the dead, that you will raise us as well. For if the Spirit that be in Christ be in us, you shall also raise us from the dead and change your mortal body. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to the great faith, the faith, and knowing that there is a falling away from the faith in this hour, we claim, Father, that that faith will take us home, because we know that you're the author and finisher of our faith. Be with us tonight, Lord, and help us to understand this great and mysterious subject of faith, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this evening we'll study continue in our study of Brother Ram's sermon called The Masterpiece, and this will be number 121 in our series. And I would like to bring out some thoughts that Brother Branham lays out in paragraph 214. He says, "Heal all the sick here, Lord." He's actually closing in prayer. He says, "We did esteem him smitten and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. God's masterpiece was smitten, and he was wounded for our transgression. With his stripes we were healed. Heal the sick, Lord, in your divine presence now, while we know that you're here. Cleanse our souls, our hearts from all evil, all bad thoughts, all evil communications, all things that's wrong. Cleanse us. And we pray, Father, that you'll heal our sickness and let us leave here feeling that we are your sanctified children and with the blood over us. And we speak through the blood the word. Grant it, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen." Now, what a wonderful thought. You know, when he says, "Let us leave here, Father, feeling that we're your sanctified children." I know there's no greater feeling that we can get, and I know we don't go by feelings, but there's no greater feeling you can get is after you've listened to a sermon, Brother Branham's, and the Holy Spirit kind of go through your life and scour you out a bit. And you just feel so sanctified after listening to the Word, so cleansed and so ready to receive the Lord. And that's a great thing to be feeling, and we should never let that slip from our presence, because when we do, we're actually doubting what God has already done. Now, he's talking about the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made 2,000 years ago, and how that the blood is still efficacious for us in this hour. And last week we spoke on the how Jesus is still on the mercy seat. Now, I know there's people who teach that, well, the seals were opened, and when the seals were opened, that he stepped off the mercy seat and he opened those seals, but he didn't step off the mercy seat. No, Brother Branham said he's still on the throne of God. The throne of God is the mercy seat. It's the throne of God. And Brother Branham said there's only one throne. Jesus didn't have his own throne. He said his throne was his dominion. It's the earth. The heaven is his footstool, or heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. But since this is what we call Good Friday, and Christians all across the world have come together on this day to celebrate the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made on our behalf, I would like to look tonight at this event, or the events that took place that day or that night, and to see just what went on in the mind of our elder brother, Jesus. We all know from reading our Bibles and the many commentaries that we've read over the years about the suffering of Jesus that night 2,000 years ago from the Garden of Gethsemane to the cross. I don't think there's any of us that would want to have taken Jesus' place. Maybe in our foolish younger years we said, well, Lord, why did you let him suffer and not me? But don't worry. You will. Every son that comes to God must first be tried and tested. Now, many of us have seen the movie that Mel Gibson made called The Passion of Christ. And if we were not aware of how much Jesus really suffered in the process of dying for our sins, we were most assuredly made aware after viewing that film. So I do not wish to focus our attention on the suffering itself this evening, but rather I would like to focus our thoughts on the faith that gave Jesus strength to endure that suffering and the faith that led him to the cross. For it is this faith that took him from Gethsemane to the cross that I would like to focus our attention on tonight, because it's this faith that we must have to receive a body change ourselves. For it is by this faith that we now live and we move and we have our being. Now Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, what you see, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, and he gave himself for me. And it's by what he did, his faith that he had in Christ, that's what I am motivated by. That's what I live by. So you see, it is his faith that we live. For our faith is nothing. You say, what do you mean, preacher, our faith is nothing? Well, the Word of God told us in Zechariah 4 and verse 6, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. For Brother Branham said that the cross was not the victory, but the battle in Gethsemane is where Jesus received the victory. You see, when Jesus finished that battle in Gethsemane, everything else after that was just hold on tight for the ride. Now, having experienced death on several occasions or nearness of death, I can say this. If you're not ready to go when God calls you to go, death itself can be a horrifying thing. But if you're ready to go and you believe in the resurrection and you believe that His Spirit abideth in you, because if His Spirit abides in you, and how do you know His Spirit abides in you? His Word is living and alive in you. The Word is a reality to you. It's not just church. It's not something we go and we hear and we hope that, you know, we're getting the right thing. The Word is alive. You see it everywhere you go. You eat it, you breathe it. It just consumes your all in all. It's a reality to you. And if His Spirit is living in you, like Paul said, if the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. So what do you fear? I remember on 9-1-1, 9-11, at 9 o'clock, 5 minutes before the planes hit the tower, I was just taken off from Honolulu. We had left the night before from Cincinnati. And I remember having that, I call it a mental vision. I put on my little binoculars, I couldn't see anything. And just as I did, I saw a plane crash into what looked to appear to be a mountain. And then that mountain began to crumble and fall into dust and look like a river just flowing down. I didn't realize what that was until I had landed 10 hours later and was able to view what was happening back here in the States. And the first thing I saw on CNN when I got to the hotel was the same scenario, the plane crashing in and the building smoking, and all of a sudden just looked just like it just crumbled into dust. But when it happened, when I first had that mental vision, if you want to call it that, for a better term, I don't know exactly what it was. But I was at peace. I said, Lord, if this is where I've got to go, I know that you'll raise me up. Years before that, laying in a very unknown place in Japan, it was a minister's home that he was on the Voice of God list, so I went to visit him. And when I got there, he was very rude. He said, why do you people keep sending me your material? But as we talked, he opened up a little bit. But that night I went to bed, and laying in the bed in this home, in the midst of a bamboo jungle, all of a sudden they got hit by a very severe earthquake, and the bed began to move across the room. And as it moved across the room, my thoughts were, Lord, well, if this is where I'm to go home, I know that you'll raise me up. And so I'm not afraid of going. I'm just not afraid of going. Actually, I look forward to it. As Paul said, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So not that I don't want to live as Christ, but to die is gain. It's just an entrance into the presence of the Lord in a greater form, greater dimension than we can imagine in these bodies of this death. So we're looking at this faith that Jesus had to have, this great faith, because we know that Jesus sweated droplets of blood. Now, can you imagine being so intense in prayer, or maybe so stressed out? Because it had to be a tremendous amount of stress on him, especially when he asked the brothers to pray with him. They kept falling asleep. Can you imagine? You're there, you're knowing that you're reaching that hour and you need support, and you're not getting it. All you're getting is a bunch of Z's. You're all alone. God has already forsaken you. He has abandoned you. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Brother Brown said he was totally abandoned by God his Father at that moment. And so he prayed like he'd never had to pray before. Because always before, he's praying to the Christ in him. Now God had abandoned him. But finally, Brother Brown said, the greatest battle that he had, but the greatest victory was in Gethsemane. After that, I won't say it was a piece of cake because they took his flesh off. Chunk by chunk, as you saw depicted in Mel Gibson's version of the Passion, which I believe was very accurate as to what took place. We see when his mind was made up, his will so blended with God's will that he said, not my will, Father, but thy will be done. Brother Brown said, God was waiting on Jesus, waiting on him to make up his mind, because he didn't have to do it. He didn't have to do it. Now, from the message communion, Brother Ram said, now, if God did not spare his own son from the cruel testing, then he will not spare you or I from the cruel testing. And Jesus was here confronting the greatest test that he had ever had. Gethsemane lay just before him, where that once and final all-sufficient test must come. When the burdens of the entire world lay upon his blessed shoulder, there was no one in all heavens or earth could ever stood it but him. And to know that all the sins of past sins and present sins and future sins rested upon this decision. And it was one of the most greatest victories that Christ ever won or proved his great messiahship, as when he said to God, not my will, but thine be done. That was the greatest victory that he ever won. All the demons of torment was around to tempt him and try him. And when he get right with God, when our hearts become pure and the Holy Spirit has taken its place in our hearts, it's the most glorious thing to have testing. The Bible tells us that our testings and trials are more precious to us than silver and gold of this world. So we should be thankful. Now we know that Scripture says that. The trial of your faith be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire testing. That it might be found, that it was ordained to be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Faith. What is it? What was it that Jesus battled with that night in Gethsemane? And what was it that finally gave him victory? Was it faith in a thing? Was it faith in a place? Or faith in a situation? Or was it faith in a person? His Father. Now, faith is a mystery that's been revealed to you. Brother Branham said, faith is a revelation. Something that has been revealed. It comes by hearing the Word of God. Therefore, faith is God's Word revealed to you. And if it is God's Word revealed to us, then it is no longer a mysterious thing, but rather it is something that has been revealed to us and has been opened up to us. From Deuteronomy 29:29, we read, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law." Now, if it's been revealed to us, then it becomes ours. For as long as it remains hidden or secret, it belongs unto God. So faith, as Brother Ram said, is something that's been revealed. Then it's yours. It's His, but now it's yours. The message, God came down with the shout. God came down with the message. Brother Ram said, "I was no more to do with it than nothing, nothing but a voice. Even against my better judgment, I wanted to be a trapper." But God revealed to His prophet then spoke what God revealed, and we received it, and now that message becomes our message. What are we doing with it? So once it becomes yours, then God wants to know what you're going to do with it. You're a steward of the greatest mysteries that the earth has ever heard. The greatest treasure in all the earth is yours. And you're a steward. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to bury it? Or are you going to invest it in others? I remember the story about the farmer that was, his family was starving to death. They just had a handful of wheat seeds. Or seeds. And they said, "We have just enough seeds here that we could make some cakes, we could eat, maybe have another two or three meals, and we perish. Or we can take these seeds and we can plant them. And by the grace of God, we can live many more years." What are we doing with the faith seed that God has given us? Have we planted it, or have we kind of hidden it under a bushel? From conference, Brother Ramson, "Now Moses cried to the Lord, and the Lord said, 'Rise up and go forward.' And when Moses went right straight and stepped his foot into the water, when that taken place, the Red Sea opened back. And Israel crossed over with a great victory." They had a conference. That's the way we always have to do, is have conferences. Now, I want to speak of another one right quick. There was a conference. There's many of them we could speak about. But let's just not pass this one by. There was a Gethsemane conference one time when it had to be brought after a victorious life, had defeated sickness, defeated everything in the world. He came to his Gethsemane. And Father had to check up to see if he really wanted to go through it or not. The Son of God, born in the image of God, filled with the Spirit, and then God stepped into him. And for those 3.5 years of ministry, God manifested his presence among man. But then when God pulled back from him, you see, let me just say this. When you pray, When you communicate with God, when you seek God with all your heart, you don't get an audible answer. How do you know that God is even hearing your prayer? How do you know? Does God shout down, "Yes, Adam, I hear you. Go ahead and speak a little louder"? No. When Elijah prayed unto God, there was a sound of lightning crashing. He said, "Nope, God's not in the lightning." Then the thunders roared. He said, "Nope, God's not in the thunder." Then the earth quaked. "Nope, God's not in the earthquake." But then there was a still, small voice. How does God speak to you? Not audibly, but through His Word. Faith is based on God's Word. Faith is not based in a what. We don't have faith in things. We have faith in people. And in this case, we have faith in God. The Father had to check up to see if He really wanted to go through it or not. Now, God had to check up on His Son. Uniquely born. Why do you get upset when God checks up on you? From the rising of the sun, Brother Bram said, now notice His quickening power, Zoe, bringing the Word, the mind that was in Christ was in you then. I'm trying to show you that when God raised Jesus from the dead, He raised up you also. And also quickened to life with Him. And you are now quickened to life. Although then you were but an attribute in His thoughts, but God had saw all of Him at the finish. See? When God looked down upon the body, the Spirit left Him in Gethsemane, in the Garden of Gethsemane, He had to die as a man. Remember, friends, He didn't have to do that. That was God. God anointed that flesh, which was human flesh, and He didn't have to. If He'd have went up there as God, He'd have never died that kind of a death because you can't kill God. He didn't have to do it. But remember, He went there with you in Him. See? God had never separated the bride from the groom yet. So when God looked down upon the body of Christ, He saw both male and female. It was all redeemed in that one body. See? They are one. The same word spoke of the groom speaks of the bride. Now, remember a couple weeks ago when we talked about by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And the Lord really showed us very, very clear how that when God looks down at the body of Christ, which is not the physical body that died in Calvary, that was part of the body of Christ, the head. But the bride universal makes up the body of Christ. And we showed how the same Spirit that was in Christ was released on the day of Pentecost, came back upon you and I, tying us to that one body. And when the blood dripped down from the cross upon the earth, those chemicals in the earth, potash and all these chemicals that make up the human body, it sanctified us. And when God looks down upon you, He sees only His Son. You see, if I see a picture of your face, I see a picture of you. That's what we identify. I look at your face, I identify that you. You show a picture of just your body without your head, and a million people could have the same body or the same look. But there's something uniquely different about your face, your eyes, your ears, your nose, and the way that it all come together. Very unique. So when God looks down upon the bleeding, dying body, the body of Christ, He sees the sacrifice that His Son made and therefore he sees us. And Brother Brown said that the bride had not been released at that point, that same spirit, because we're spirit of his spirit, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Now, Brother Brown let us know that God had revealed it first to Moses. But Moses was expected to move on it before it became into manifestation or materialization. For without him moving forward, that portion of the word could not have materialized. Can you imagine God revealing to Noah that it's going to rain and Noah not building the ark? Who'd be left to tell the story? God waited 120 years for Noah to get that ark built. I wonder if it actually physically would take that long, or maybe Noah was dragging his feet a little bit. 120 years to build an ark. I like the depiction that we have from the movie called The Bible, because Noah is working on the ark and his wife says, "Well, Noah, if it's going to rain, won't you fix the roof on the house first?" You see, the faith of God is a strange thing. Because, you know, God had to have faith in himself in order to bring forth the creation. Those thoughts were in his mind. But until God spoke them, there was no demonstration of faith. There was only thoughts, hope. But when God spoke them, it brought everything into manifestation. When Brother Bram took that rock and threw it up in the air, it took something to start something, is what I'm trying to say. Faith is here. It's a constant. Because it's the faith of God. And Brother Brown let us know that God had first of all revealed His plan to Moses. But Moses was expected to move upon what God had showed him before that what He showed him could become materialized. For without him moving forward, that portion of the Word could not have become materialized or realized. So faith has to do with the unseen being seen by that sixth sense that we call faith. Yes, the sixth sense is called faith. And that sense can see what the eyes cannot see. And God revealed it to Jesus what He must do, but until Jesus acted upon it, it was not yet a reality. And yet, before the foundations of the world, He was the Lamb slain. But it took Him up to the age of 33 and a half before He realized that. Or that became a realization. A materialization of the Word, of the plan of God. So faith has to do with the unseen Word being revealed and then acted upon, which the action becomes the revelation expressed, and when that happens, the Word is dressed or clothed for everyone to see. That's why Brother Branham said that the prophets were the Word for the day that they lived. They were the revelation of God for that season. Because their actions and the words that they spoke and the things that they did was a reflection of the very plan of God. It was the skin on God's Word. Therefore, faith does not come by seeing. But faith comes by hearing, not by seeing. Because after it has been heard, then it may be seen once that we act upon it. And that is what the Scripture teaches us in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 2. Paul says, "This only what I have learned of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Notice he says, "He that preaches the Spirit to you, he that ministers the Spirit to you, or he that healeth, worketh miracles among you." How does he do it? Paul's giving us a clue here. There's one faith, one Lord. And yet that one faith operates miracles. That one faith ministers the Spirit. That one faith saves the unsavable, redeems those who have fallen. Many different operations, but by the same faith. In Romans 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our message, our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and not just hearing, but hearing by the word of God. So then it is not just hearing, but hearing the word of God that brings faith or releases the faith of God back to us." In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, we read, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." So when God believed in Himself, in His plan, He spoke it. And then His faith became manifested into material reality. So faith is something that was hidden, but has been revealed. Then faith is like setting out on a journey, not knowing where you're going, but knowing who you're going with. Let me say that again, because this is very important for us to understand. Faith, many times you're called to believe and to act upon something God has shown you. The problem is, many times God doesn't show you the end. Like in Abraham, He said, "Start walking, Abraham." Abraham started walking. By faith, Abraham walked. By faith, Enoch walked. Not knowing where he was going, but knowing whom he was walking with. There's your faith. Not in a thing. Not in an action. Not in a result. But in a person. Christ. Now, faith is something that was hidden, but has been revealed. And faith is like setting out on a journey, not knowing where you're going, but knowing whom you're going with. Hebrews 11:8 tells us, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went." You see, the problem that we have is we say, you know, we hardly got enough faith for healing. How are we ever going to have enough faith to receive a body change? And when we look at it that way, our minds are looking at the wrong thing. Who does the healing? God does the healing. Who's going to bring about the body change? God's going to bring about the body change. How is He going to bring about the body change? He said, "If the Spirit of Him that quickened Jesus from the dead is in you, that Spirit will also quicken your mortal body." Then it's not how much faith you can muster to get a body change. It's who's in control. And when God is good and ready to do it, it's going to be done whether you believe it or not. And if you walk in the light as He is in the light, then you're walking with Him, and it shouldn't make any difference where you're going. That's why Brother Branham said, "If He sends me to hell, I'll worship Him anyway." That is what faith is all about. Walking with Him and trusting Him. In fact, the very evidence that you're believing what He has revealed to you is that you're walking in that revelation. The very evidence Because faith is a substance and faith is an evidence. The very evidence that Noah believed God was that he was building an ark the way God wanted it built. In fact, the very evidence that you're believing what he has revealed to you is that you are walking in that revelation, especially when no one else knows that you are obeying the hidden voice of God to you. Not hidden to you, but revealed to you what is hidden to them. It's been revealed to you, and you're doing what God has showed you, and the whole world thinks you're crazy, and your wife thinks you're crazy, and your kids think you're crazy. But you know that God has called you to do that thing. And we know that there's only one Lord, and there's one faith. It's not a faith for healing, is one kind of faith, and a faith for salvation is another kind of faith, and a faith for miracles is another kind of faith, and faith for your finances is another kind of faith. No, there's only one faith. And you know what that is? It's the revelation of that one Lord. Who's in charge? Who are we believing anyway? Man or God? Man who messes with God's creation, or the God who created it to begin with? There's one faith and one Lord. That's Ephesians 4 and 5. Therefore, faith is the substance of someone, not something. I like that. And you know that's Bible. We see in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we see that faith is both a substance and faith is an evidence. Now the substance is not the evidence. But the substance is the person. God Himself, who has revealed to you His plan for you. And the evidence is your stepping forward into that plan, that which God has revealed to you by His personal presence. Notice that Paul said faith is not a substance. People teach faith is a substance. Faith is not a substance. Faith is the substance. And the word "the" is the article "the," which changes it from a thing to a person. Just like as, I can't remember the author, but he wrote a book called The Holy Spirit. And in it, he said, notice when the word Spirit is used, the word pneuma, and the word Spirit is spoken of with the article "the" in front of it, it speaks of the person of God. But when the article "the" is left off, it speaks of the essence or the life. Well, Paul didn't say faith is a substance. He said it is the substance. The article points to a person. Faith is the person. The person of God Himself. The is very important in understanding what or who it is that Paul is speaking of. So Paul is not speaking of faith as a substance, but the substance. And this word "substance" was translated from the Greek word hypostasis, which was translated in Hebrews 1 and verse 3. Open your Bibles, read it. Hebrews 1 and verse 3, as the very person of God. It says, who being the brightness of His glory, we know glory is the word doxa, it's the opinion, assessment, judgment of God, and the very expressed image of His person, hypostasis. Faith is the substance, is the person. So we could take that same translation and say, faith is the person. The hypostasis, the very substance which is God. And upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Same word, translated three different ways. Translated as the word substance, doesn't make any sense. Translated as the word person, makes a lot of sense. Translated as the word confidence. Well, do I have confidence in things? I don't think so. You say, well, you have confidence in cars. Well, it depends on who made it. I have confidence in people, abilities, talent, gifts, but not in things. Notice, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is a substance, it's a person. Who being the brightness of His glory, the very express image of His person, His hypostasis, same word. And again, we see the word translated as confidence. Not confidence as an adverb, but confidence as a person. Hebrews 3 and verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Our confidence or our confidence in Him? The subject of the sentence is Christ. Confidence is what's reflected of Christ. So it points to the person. Not hold our own confidence in ourselves, but our confidence is in Him and what He has done. That is the confidence this is speaking of, confidence in a person, which is Christ. Now, as I said before, faith then is having a confidence in the person, not a thing. Abraham, by faith, started walking because God told him to walk. We walk in the light from day to day and from week to week, not knowing exactly where we're going, but knowing with whom we are going. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we're walking with Him, aren't we? It doesn't matter where you're going. Hallelujah. We know that all things are going to work together for the good of those that love Him. And are thee called? God's not going to take you to hell. He might take you to hell, but He'll bring you back. Jesus ascended or descended into hell for 3 days. God took Him up, raised Him up. And that is what Abraham did. That is what Enoch did. He walked with God. It does, and does it really matter where He's leading you if you fully trust Him? I don't think it does. Jesus said, we must be like little children in order to enter into the kingdom of God. And little children have complete trust in their parents as long as their parents are with them. Now, another thing about this faith that we're talking about tonight is that there is but one faith because there is but one Lord, and that faith is the faith of that one Lord. Look, in the beginning there was only God, and in Him were many thoughts of how that He wanted for things to be. Now, the thing of it is that God had to have faith in Himself to bring to pass His entire plan. And so that faith that He expressed in bringing to pass His thoughts is the same faith that Jesus had to have in order to step forth into the role of the sacrificial lamb. And Jesus expressed faith in the Father's plan when He left Gethsemane determined to fulfill God's will. And I love the way that Mel Gibson portrayed the fact that when others tried to take up the cross, Jesus hardly would let them. He just clutched that thing like that's his football. You ain't going to take it from Him. That's what He came for. That was His whole purpose. So don't try to do it for me. I'm going to see this thing through to the end. So although faith is an invisible thing, yet when it becomes active, that active expression is faith materialized. Therefore, faith is like electricity in a way. The same electricity that operates this microphone here is the same electricity that operates those lights and that fan up there and the air conditioner and the heater and the furnace. The air conditioner gives us cooling. The furnace gives us warmth. The lights give us light. They give us a little heat, a little warmth. Each one of those is being operated by the dynamics of the electricity, which is the same electricity that does the one, does this, does the computer that records this. But why do they have a different function? Because they're different units, different fixtures, different vessels. And so the same electricity, the same power that makes that fan spin, that makes the light glow, that makes the computer receive through the microphone, this voice that's being spoken to you, The same Holy Spirit working in one teaches, working in another preaches, working in another does miracles, working in another has administration, working in another brings forth healing. What makes it different? The vessel, the gift in the vessel. But it's the same Spirit operating each vessel. And it's the same faith that heals the sick. It's also the same faith that raises the dead, that changes the body from mortal to immortal. We don't need another faith than what we've got, brother, sister. We just need to let go and let God operate through these vessels what He said and ordained before the foundations of the world that He will do. Therefore, the same faith that is needed to heal the sick is the same faith that is needed to forgive sins. And the same faith is needed to move mountains or create squirrels. It is not a different faith because there is only one faith. So the difference is not in the faith, but in the vessel that operates that faith. In other words, like with electricity, is the same electricity that operates all the fixtures that we spoke of. And yet each fixture or vessel has its own way of manifesting the power. So when we see faith manifested or operated in a different manner, it's not a different faith. It's the same faith. And the same way with God, the same dynamics work in each vessel and work according to the gift that lays within that vessel. Therefore, the same faith that we have for healing is the same faith we have for our finances or for our safety. Then why can you have faith for your finances, but you can't have faith for healing? Why do you have faith for healing, but you don't have it for finances? Huh? You see, Brother Branham demonstrated to the young woman. She was having trouble with her faith. Brother Branham came to pray for her. She couldn't accept it. He said, "Do you have faith for healing?" She said, "I don't think so. I don't have it." He said, "I do. Now, if you can have faith in me." And he said, "Watch." He said, "Do you see that light right there? The light had a, you see like the little string hanging down on the light there?" He said, "I'm going to make that string start to move, and it's going to go in a circle from right to left and go around this way and this way and this way, and it began to move." And then he said, "Okay, now, let it stop. Now I'm going to make it go the opposite way." And he began to make it move the opposite way. He said, "Now, do you think that you can have faith in me, that I have faith for your healing?" She said, "Yes." He said, "Now we can get someplace." Brother Vail said years ago, preaching on faith, he used to do some discerning and things like that, and he said he had a woman approach, and he would have him sit in a chair. He'd go behind him, lay his hands upon their shoulders and pray. And he said, "I began to pray for this woman, and he said she had some ailment in her arms." And he said, "I began to pray and I asked her to move her arms. She was able to move her arms." And she said, "But Brother Vail, that's not what I came for." He said, "I know that." He said, "You came for your eyes, I can tell, because she had Coke bottle glasses on." He said, "I can tell that, you know, you came for your eyes. Doesn't take a lot of discernment to know that." He said, "Let's pray." He said he began to pray and it got very, very dark. And he said he began to pray even harder, and it got even darker. And he began to really knuckle down and really, really earnestly pray, and it got even darker, as dark as pitch. He said, then he said, "Father, what is going on here?" He said, then the Lord revealed to him that this woman had listened to her doctor, who said that her eyes were going bad and one day she would become blind. And because she had latched on to what the man told her, the operation of the gift of God and the faith of God was laid to none effect. And he told the woman, he said, "Listen," he said, "your doctor told you that your eyesight's getting worse and worse and worse. Is that right?" She said, "Yes." And he said, "One of these days you'll be completely blind. Is that right?" She said, "Yes." He said, "That is hindering our praying for your eyes." He said, "Don't you think that the God who created the world
can heal your eyes. He said, you need to go home and pray until God lifts that thing from you. And then you come back and we'll have prayer again. He said, she never came back.
Paul makes it very clear in Colossians 2 and 12. He said, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Buried with him in baptism. Wherein also you are risen, past tense, with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Did God ordain a bride? Let's not even talk in terms of bride. Did we not read a couple weeks ago that God said that you were in him before the foundations of the world? Do you believe that? Did he not say that you were predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ? Didn't Paul tell us that the adoption of children is the redemption of our body, the change of the body? Well, if you were in God and he already predestinated you to the redemption of your body, then that faith is already there. God spoke it. All you have to do is claim it, believe it, accept it, what God has for you. You see, we're not talking about a thing. We're talking about a person. Do you believe God or do you not believe God? It's just that simple. God said, Abraham, start walking. He said, where? He said, I'll tell you later. Just start walking. That's the hardest thing. That's where fear comes in. When you don't know what tomorrow brings, that's where you have fear. Why should you have fear? Because don't you know who holds tomorrow? Well, Lord, I thank you for forgiving me my sins past and even my sins present. But how about thanking him for your sins future? The things you stumble into. Colossians 2 and 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. God raised Jesus from the dead. 18 times the scripture tells us God raised Jesus from the dead. Now, this word operation was translated from the Greek word energy, which meaning operation, effectual, and working. The Apostle Paul speaks of this in Ephesians 1 verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, the energy of God. Ephesians 3 and 7. Wherefore, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of His power. The effectual working of His power. God's doing it. So we see that the operation of God's power works or operates through gifts. And with different gifts, there are different operations or manifestations of the same energies of God. And with each gift, there is a different measure of how this energy of God works. Just as there is a different amperage of electricity being pulled through or channeled through each fixture that is utilizing the same electricity running through the same electrical cords in this building. So how much amperage do you take, Brother Peter? How much amperage are you taking, Brother Ron? What are you set for? That's what God will work through. Whatever measure of faith He's given you, whatever amperage you're set for, that's what's going to manifest. I like that. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In other words, the whole body works together for one purpose.
Why do we have the fans and the air conditioning and the different lights? It's also that it works together so that we can have a more comfortable worship service. That's why the chairs have been ordered and they all come together. They help. And Paul says, the effectual working in every measure is for the increase of the body unto itself, edification of itself, the building up of the body. Romans 12 and 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. Wherefore prophesy, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. In other words, we can't all be a William Branham. We can't all be Jesus. But God has given each one of you something for the body. It may be singing specials to break down the spirit of maybe stress or whatever you come into church with. And someone's there to sing a special and enlist you into heavenly place. Might be the music. Might be something. Might be a kind word. It might be your prayer. You're a prayer warrior. You might see there are so many different, the Holy Spirit, the gifts are many in the church, and so God uses the different vessels to bring comfort. This fan's kind of comforting over here. This one's comforting here. Gives you a little bit of light so you can see your scriptures. We got the generator running. We got the furnace running. We got, you know, it all comes together for the edification of the body. Your gifts, your gifts, your gifts, your gifts. There's the same electricity, the same power of God, the same energeo, the same energy of God running through you, the same faith. You say, God, I know that you save, and I believe I'm saved. God, I know that I have a wart, and I believe in healing. God heals your wart. God, I'm having a financial battle right now, but I'm trusting you and I'm putting it in your hands. And He does it for you. The same faith. Because your faith isn't in the finances. It's not in your ability to do it. It's in God who can do it for you. Your faith isn't in, well, if I do this thing, if I eat the right foods and do this, and I can just watch, I never get sick so that I don't have to worry about getting prayed for. I'm sorry, but God has prayer for the sick in the church for a purpose. There's a healing power of God in the church for a purpose. Do we have confidence and faith in Him or in things? So we see this faith working in us in whatever measure that we've been given. It works to the total benefit of the body of Christ, like each fixture here makes life a little better for us to come in to worship in this building. As I said, the microphone makes it possible to pick up the sound and transfer it to the computer, which then uses the same electricity to record the sermon, and the lights use the same electricity to give us light and a little heat, and the furnace uses the same electricity to give us more heat or cool us down so we can stay more comfortable, so we can devote our human energies to hearing the Word of God. Now, as I said, the same faith that operates each gift is the same faith that heals, the same faith that saves, the same faith that creates body parts, the same faith that can create squirrels. It's not a different faith that we need for a change of the body, but an allowing that one faith of God, the faith of Christ, to have preeminence in our body. In Romans 4:16, therefore it is of faith, out from faith, that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the faith of us all. And how can we be sure of that faith? Because he says it is a faith that might make us sure. Well, we have a God who cannot lie. And a God who cannot lie, and His Word is immutable. His Word cannot be changed. He already gave you the promises. We showed you when we did the series on the Rainbow Covenant. The covenant of God is already there for us. The angel of the covenant has come down in this hour to reestablish the covenant. And we saw when we looked at the picture and we see through the light, we can see the rainbow above his head showing that God has come down as the angel of the covenant. Brother Brown said it was the angel of the covenant. Well, what's the angel of the covenant done? He's come to reconfirm that covenant. Hallelujah. That ought to give you faith, because it's not a faith in things, it's a faith in him. And he's here. Now, if he wasn't here, you know, that's where our faith might wander. A little child, if he knows that there's a dog standing him right there, but he's standing behind his daddy, he's not too afraid. When the boys would come down the street and they'd have snowballs, I'd stand behind my dad. They weren't going to throw one at my dad. He was my tower. He was my rock. He was my comfort zone. That's right. And we have a dad, a father, who the devil can't get to you unless he goes through him and gets permission. That's why when I sat on that plane, I had such a great comfort, knowing that the devil can't hurt me, can't hurt my daughters, until God says it's okay to take them home. And I had comfort in that, knowing that I was on my way to Brazil and the devil was just trying to stop it, stop those meetings. So I knew we were going to have good meetings. Now, as I said, the same faith that operates each gift is the same faith that heals, the same faith that saves, creates body parts, creates squirrels, whatever. And I know that we talk about not having enough faith to receive our healing, much less receiving a body change. But it is not the amount of faith that we have, nor is it another faith, because there is only one faith. And Jesus' victory in Gethsemane was not getting faith, but stepping aside and allowing the faith of God to operate in his body. Allowing him to trust God, that God's will was better than his own will. And he finally said, "Not my will, Father. I don't exactly want to go through this, Father, but you know what? Not my own will, but your will be done." And that is what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:21. "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashionable like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself?" Who's going to do it? Your faith? Hogwash. His faith. His faith. You see, it is not you subduing your body, but the subduing of your body is God's doing by his faith. And if you have a God who does not have enough faith to change your body, then you do not have a God, the God of Abraham, because God changed Abraham's body back to youth again. It's already been done. We're not venturing into unknown territory. Colossians 1:29, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Notice Paul says, my striving is to allow his energies to work in me. "Then what we lack is not faith, for we have enough faith to move mountains if we have the faith of Christ," his faith. "But what we are lacking is a vessel that is so focused on Christ that we will let him do whatever he wishes to do with our vessel." That's what you're lacking. You're lacking his will. Colossians 2:12, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead." So you see, it is God who operates his faith in us. So just let go and let God, or just get out of the way and let God take over your vessel. You see, it is not our faith, but his faith, for there is but one faith, and that faith is God's faith, that Jesus received and that God was waiting on him to acknowledge in the Garden of Gethsemane. And through his great struggle, he finally let go and he let God and he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." So it can be done. Your brother did it for you. Galatians 2:16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the work of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ." Not our faith, but his faith. "And not by the works of the law, but by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Now think of what Paul is saying here. Our justification does not come via what we do, but by faith. "Then it is not our faith, but his faith that justifies us. Then justification is a work of grace, something that's totally out of your hands. And it's a gift from God. For that is what faith is. It's something that's been revealed to you. And if it's been revealed to you, then it was given to you."
Romans 4:16, therefore it is a faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And Philippians 3:9, and we be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So even your righteousness comes through the faith of Christ. What he did. His faith. Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Now the problem we have with faith is not that we do not have it, nor access to it, but we do not recognize what it is that we do have. As I've spoken before, I said, what good does the presence of God do, the parousia of Christ do, if there's no epiphaneia? If nobody knows he's the invisible God, how do you know he's there? So God does something. He has an epiphaneia. A great shining light comes down and it speaks and 500 people are witness to it. Then God begins to manifest himself and unveil himself, and we see the mighty God unveiled before us. So as God does something to bring the invisible to the visible, John said, that which we have seen, which your hands have handled, the word of life, it was not seen, but now it's seen. The problem is, as I said, it's not that we don't have faith. It's not with our faith. It's not that we don't have faith nor access to this faith. But our problem is that we don't recognize what we already have by a promise of God. Basically, faith is the revelation of God's word and his will. And it is black and white if we would just open our Bibles. A couple Christmases ago, I gave everyone in this church, or everyone who was a member in the church at the time, I gave them a book called The Promises of God in the Bible. There's over 800 promises of God for you in the Bible. Just get them open and read it. And the second thing that limits our faith is that we do not believe what God has said about it, or about us. We are told that by the faith of Jesus, we have been given access to God. Do we use that access? Well, I don't want to bother God. He's a busy person. Yeah, right. The fact is that you don't really believe you can get to God. Romans 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Look what Paul said in Ephesians 3 and 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Not our faith in him. But by his faith we have boldness and access with confidence. So what more can be said than that we have access to God through Jesus Christ, his faith, what he did. And this access is not something that you have control over. It is a done deal. Romans 3 and 3 says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? I don't think so. Even our righteousness comes through his faith. Romans 4:13, for the promise that we should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And we know that we are heirs not because what we have done, but what we were in him before the foundations of the world, and he said it. Romans 9:30, what shall we then say? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Where's your righteousness come? By faith. Whose faith? Not your faith. Your faith ain't worth nothing. It's his faith. What he's done. Having faith in that. Romans 10 and verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Galatians 3:22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And Romans 10 verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the rightwiseness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who shall ascend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, look, God has already given you the promise. He's already given you all the promises, 800 of them in the Scripture. He's already given you the faith. All you got to do is just say it back. Just say it back. God, you said. God said, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward, Abraham. And Abraham said, oh yeah? What about me? He said, I have need of a child, a son. I don't want this Eliezer to be my inheritor. He said, I want a son. You're the great reward, then give me what I ask you. And God said, okay, you'll have a son by your own loins. In fact, God changed his body back to do it. And he changed Sarah's body back to do it. Abraham took God at his word, and he said, okay, put up or shut up. Not to be rude, but that's what he did. He said, okay, God, you said it. I'm believing it. You got to provide it. Listen, that's the way faith works. You give God back what he already gave you. It's not a different thing. It's the same thing he's already given you. The same electricity will turn on everything. And the same Spirit worketh in you, each, whatever gift is already there. And if you were in him before the foundations of the world, then God is obligated to quicken you by his Spirit, by his Word, to make the Word become alive to you. Then hallelujah, we're on the glory trail. Because we're walking in the light as he is in the light. And all I'm asked to do is just walk with him. That's all I'm asked to do. Walk with him. Commune with me. Commune with me. As I walk in the light of thy presence, Lord. Commune with me. See? Hallelujah.
2 Thessalonians 1:11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. In other words, that he'll fulfill it. He which began the good work in you shall what? Perform it. Who's going to perform it? Me? Hogwash. I can hardly get out of bed sometimes. I feel so stiff. He'll perform it if you let him. Romans 14:23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Let's face it. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. What is faith? God said it. That's it.
James 5:15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him.
Anybody in here, I don't want to ask for hands. I'm just, in your heart, you can raise your hand. Anybody here struggling with a sin of their past that they've never been able to forgive themselves for? The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven. As he said to the woman at the well, go and sin no more.
So as you see, our righteousness comes from his faith. Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. God said it. That's all you need to know. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the very righteousness of God. As Brother Vail told me, when Dr. Kenyon had read that in the Scripture and he realized that we have become the very righteousness of God, he said nothing stood before his prayers from that point on. If you could recognize that you have become the very righteousness of God, nothing should stand before your prayer. And finally, in closing, Romans 1, verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for the faith that we see in your Son Jesus that took him to the cross, that took him through Calvary, and gave him victory in Calvary. And when he recognized the faith of God, and he placed his trust in your faith, Father, to raise him from the dead, then he walked forth with the plan of redemption. And by his act and by his faith in you, God, our Father, we recognize that we have redemption for our sins. We have salvation. We have the body change. We have all these promises, healing, and just so many divine promises of God. And as your prophet said, when the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God, he said, it'll bring it to pass. And he said, the right mental attitude is to believe that it is thus, saith the Lord. Father, you've given us your word. You've made it plain. It's black and white. We can read. Father, may as we be like Mary, as she said, may it be done unto me according to thy word. And Father, we believe in this hour that you're gathering together an elect from the four corners of the earth, and you're gathering them into Christ the Word, your presence among us. And we believe, Father, that you are gathering us into Christ to bring forth us into adoption so that we might become the inheritors. May it be done unto us according to your word. For you saw us before the foundations of the world. You predestinated us under the adoption of children. And now, Father, we're sitting here in heavenly places in Christ, receiving the very mind of Christ. And may it be done unto us according to thy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We could have Brother Michael and Brother Ron, if you would bring the elements. And let's just sing, if we would. let's sing that song, Commune With Me.